All right. Well, I told you this morning we'd be going into Proverbs 31 this afternoon, just for a quick look at some things there. You have to pray for me. This ear here, for some reason, is stopping up on me. I don't know what it is. I mean, it's not like I'm the Jews when Stephen was talking to them and they stopped their ears. I mean, I'm not doing it on purpose, so let me... Well, you know. There it is. Pardon me. We'll just begin reading there in verse number 10, and we'll pray together. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we do thank you again for your goodness and grace. We just pray, Lord, now that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, as we look at your word, that which is most needful. And Father, we ask you that we might be able to be good, faithful servants to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. In the Bible here in the book of Proverbs 31, he asks the question, who can find a virtuous woman? And I remember asking that question myself many years ago because I was young and single and I knew I wanted to be married. And after I got saved, and I was thinking about God and his will and thinking about getting married, and I was thinking, God, I said, there are millions of women on the face of this planet. And I said, and it's going to be hard finding one willing to marry me. And by the same token, I said, though, God, you asked the question, who can find a virtuous woman? And I said, God, I know I can't. You said that her price is far above rubies, and I don't have big money. I said, so God, you're going to have to find one for me. And he said, that's fine. He said, but you need to read on so you know what to look for. So this is as much for the ladies as it is for you young fellas. When you're thinking about marrying a woman, you got to know what to look for. Amen? Because there are millions of women in this world, and there are millions of men who married the wrong kind of women, because they didn't know what they were looking for. And I always say, you know, you catch what you bait for. You know? And what you bait your hook for, that's what you're going to catch. There's different things, you know, that the different fish go after. And some of these women walking around today, I think that's what they think they are, is a giant tackle box. You know, the way they put all those things in their ears and everything like that. I think they think they're a living tackle box is what it is. Maybe they are fishermen. You just don't realize it. They go out to the lake and pull some of that off and start putting, I don't know. But let's look at some things. This says the virtuous woman is. Notice it says, in verse number 11 and 12, it says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, first thing we see about this virtuous woman is that she's trustworthy. She's trustworthy. All right? Look at what it says about her. It says that she's a confidant. He says, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Her husband can put confidence in her. He can talk to her. He doesn't have any need to go and talk to anybody else. I at least think the ladies would amen me there. Amen? You want your husband going around just willy-nilly talking to everybody? A virtuous woman is one who's trustworthy. Her husband has confidence in her. He doesn't have a need to look to anybody else to be his confidant. He can talk to her about anything because she's trustworthy. She's not skittish. She doesn't jump and run. Amen? She's not spooked by things easily. A woman dedicated to the truth and of God's word and to to the, those kinds of things in her heart and life is going to be trustworthy, a trustworthy woman, a woman who you can tell things to, and she won't lose her mind. Amen. There's women like that. You know, if you say the wrong thing, whoop, she's done. Don't marry that kind of woman. You're going to take a long, it's going to be hard to train her. I'm just going to tell you. You laugh, but it is a husband's responsibility to train his wife, to teach her. I've seen some women in the church who were not trained, who didn't know how to shut up, and when her husband gave her the look, she still didn't know it was time to be quiet. Amen, preacher, you're right. I know I am. Folks, there's not supposed to be that kind of stuff going on in the church, and a virtuous woman understands that. She understands that she has a place to fill in God's plan. Amen? She does. She's a confident and she's a comforter. That's why she's trustworthy. It said there, she will do him good and not evil. Notice, all the days of her life. She doesn't go around plotting and planning how she can get even. She doesn't do things behind his back that she knows he doesn't want done. She's a comforter. She's a source of comfort. She does him good. And sometimes doing him good is telling him the truth. Telling him that his, I'll go for something simpler. Telling him that his collar's turned up. All right. That's as far as we'll go with that. But you should understand where else that can go. Amen. She's someone who looks out for her husband's good. Okay, no matter what, that's what she does. She's trustworthy. Notice in verse 13, we see she's a toiler. It says in verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Show me a woman who won't pitch in when it's time to clean up, and I'll show you a woman you don't want to marry. I'm just telling you. You don't want to marry a woman who's not willing when she sees it. There's something he's done. She's not willing to jump in and help do it. That means she's left to all do it all by herself. Amen. But she's willing to jump in and do something. She's a toiler. Says she is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. That means she's willing to go the extra mile in her work. She'll go the extra mile. It says she riseth also while it's yet night and giveth her meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She not only goes the extra mile, but she gives of herself. She's a toiler. And she doesn't just do just what'll get by. Amen. She gives of herself. Notice she's a thinker. She's not a mindless automaton or anything like that. She's a thinker. It says she considereth the field and buyeth it. She looks for opportunities to do well. And she uses what she has. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. She uses what she has. She is a thinker. She's not whining about what she doesn't have. She's not complaining about that. She looks at what her opportunities are and she uses what she has to do some good with her life. That's what she does. She's a thinker. She's tough. Look at this. This is an important one. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. It says in verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. That means that she can stand against ridicule. Ladies, you need to understand your merchandise is good. When you are walking with the Lord and doing what's right, honoring God with your life, what you bring, what you have to offer is good. Okay, you don't sit around thinking about, well, I'm not like this one, I'm not like... Forget all that nonsense. Okay? Just a word to the wise husbands and wives, you do not compare your spouse to other people. That is trouble in the making. You don't do that. You don't like it being done to you, you shouldn't want to do it to others. Amen? But on that same note, ladies, you need to understand that your merchandise, if you're a virtuous woman, a woman who loves God, wants to do right, you are a valuable you have valuable merchandise. You are a person of value, just as you are. Just as you are. When God made a family, He made Adam and Eve, and that was the family. The children, like we talked this morning, they are a heritage from the Lord. They're a blessing. They're a reward. But a couple is a family when they are married. Amen. And you know, ladies, you should know. You should be able to stand against that ridicule and understand, because in this world, the world doesn't value godly women. Now, they value the fruit of their hands. They see that how hardworking they are. They see how dedicated they are. And they say, oh, it's really great. But they don't value the Savior who they're serving. And so, ladies, you need to understand your merchandise is good. It's worth having. It's worth being a virtuous woman. It says there also, her candle goeth out by night. That means she burns the midnight oil. She burns the midnight oil. She's tough. She can handle it. She develops that ability to go on in spite of the difficulties that arise. She's talented. It says she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. And you may say, well, everybody has some talent, okay? Everybody does, to varying degrees, all right? I play the mandolin. I don't play the mandolin like I'd like to play the mandolin, man. I'll tell you what. I hear some people play the mandolin, and it makes me feel like I shouldn't even pick one up again. Amen. But I'm going to use what talent I have for the Lord. Amen. What ability I have. It doesn't matter. I don't have to play at the grand old opera. I'm praying to the house of God. Amen. And that's the way you ought, ladies, you ought to look at yourself, at your talents. Use what you have. You may say, well, I can't sing in the opera. We're not asking you to sing in the opera. We're asking you to sing the glory of God. Amen. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a ladies' trio or something like that that would sing now and then? That'd be wonderful. But the problem is, you can't get any women who will think, well, you know, my merchandise is of value, and I may not be able to sing on television, but I can certainly sing for God and carry a tune. Amen. That's the way it ought to be. She's talented, and she uses it. She's tenderhearted. It says she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She has a tender heart for the needs of others. That's a virtuous woman. You want to marry a woman, young fellas, that has a tender heart for needs of others and for the Word of God, for the preaching of the Word of God. You know, when I started reading this list and God started telling me all this stuff, man, that knocked out so many women from me even thinking about. Like, she don't have no tender heart. Get away from her. She don't like to listen to preaching. Get away. She don't like to read the Bible. She don't want to quote any scripture. Get away from her. Far away. Don't go near her door. Amen. You need to find you one. It's like this. She takes care of business in verse 21. She's not afraid of the snow for her household. Why? For all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She takes care of business. She sees it beforehand. She's looking ahead of what needs to be done, and she's taking care of it. That's why she's not afraid, because she's already looking ahead to what needs to be done. You know, folks, a lot of times the reason we have fear of things is because we try to deal with them as they come, instead of thinking beforehand about those things, facing those things, and saying, God, how should I deal with it? Then you don't have to worry about preparing when it comes. You're already prepared. You're already ready to do something for God. You're already ready to make the right choice. You're already ready to face those things because you've already thought about them. You've not been afraid of them. You've not said, oh, hopefully that'll never happen. No, you've thought about it. You've examined the Scripture. You've called to God about it. And He's given you clear understanding. And then you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid then, because you've already looked at it with the Lord. You've already sat down with Him and He's already counseled you. She's a woman who takes care of business. Notice also, she is a treasured woman. It says in verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She's known. He's known. Why? Because of her. I was over at Dairyland last night, and Debbie, I was in there just visiting, and I was standing there, and this young guy came in and talking to Debbie, and I can't remember exactly what, but he looked at me and said, "You're the husband?" I said, "Yeah, that's me. That's me. I'm her enforcer." You know, but her husband is known in the gates because of the wife. She's valuable. She maketh fine linen. Well, everybody knows that her work's good. She's a treasured woman. And sell that she delivereth girdles to the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Because she's a treasured woman. It said in verse 28, her children shall children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and praiseth her. Not just complimenting her to her, but complimenting her to others. When you have opportunity, gentlemen, you ought to extol your wife before others. That's what you ought to do. She's treasured. She talks carefully. In verse 26, it says, she opened her mouth with wisdom. She doesn't just blather out. The first thing pops into her head. And her tongue, in her tongue is the law of kindness. She's trying to do a kindness with the words she's saying. She's not trying to be hurtful. She's not trying to be spiteful. You may not like what she says, but she's not saying it in a mean way. Because she's careful about the way she talks. In verse 29, well, actually in verse 29, it says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. If you have this kind of heart, ladies. Notice, verse 30 is very important for all young people who would consider being married. You need to learn this truth. Favor is deceitful. Anybody can be nice. Okay? Joab was a real nice guy. He liked to come up and hug a guy on the neck. Problem was, he kept dropping his sword everywhere. He'd come up to hug the one guy. Oh, his sword dropped out. Clumsy him. His sword dropped out of the sheath. So he just picked it up. And since he was walking up to hug the guy, he didn't bother putting it away yet. And then he'd hug him, and then he'd stab him. Anybody can be nice. Favor is deceitful. Guys, these girls come up, and they start batting their eyelashes at you. Batting their eyes like a toad in a hailstorm. You better not pay attention to that. Anyone can be nice. Ladies, young ladies, any guy can smile and be just real polite and open the door for you. Say you look pretty. Any guy in the world can do that. You better get a hold of somebody who has a virtuous life. Because favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. Beauty is vain. I know you ladies go to a lot of tear and get in front of the mirror and spend hours doing your hair and your face and all that kind of stuff. Why do you do that? Because one day it's all going to go away. I didn't always look like this. Of course, I was never really dashing, but you know, I wasn't always this. Nobody always looked the way they do now. But people get older. Everybody, the reason you get wrinkles is because the sun puts out radiation, x-rays, and it blasts through your skin every day, and your body repairs it. Blasts through you, And that's why you start getting wrinkles, because your body stops keeping up with the repairs. Scar tissue kind of stuff. It can't keep up. Beauty is vain. Nothing wrong with marrying a beautiful woman. I did. But I made sure she was beautiful on the inside. Before I ever thought about what she looked on the outside. Made sure what was inside was good. The outside, that's going to change. I still think she's beautiful. Nobody I'd rather be with than my wife. Favor's deceitful. Anyone can be nice. Beauty is vain. It goes away. But a woman that feareth the Lord, there's no price for that. A woman who fears the Lord. First and foremost, young ladies, be women of virtue who fear the Lord. Put your relationship with Christ first. And then the only guys who will be interested in you are guys who have Christ first. Be the kind of person that the person you want to marry is looking for. That's what you got to be. A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates. And that's what Paul was trying to say when he said that every man will be pleased with himself. He'll be satisfied with his own work. Stop looking around, wondering what everybody thinks about you, and start thinking about what God thinks about you. Stop worrying about whether everybody else will like whatever you're doing, and start thinking about whether or not God likes what you're doing. Don't worry about what everybody else likes what you're saying. Worry about whether God likes what you're saying. That's what you need to do. Because the most important relationship you will ever have in your life is the one you have with Christ. And that can be a good one, it can be a mediocre one, and it can be a poor one. If you have a right relationship with Christ, you don't have to worry about anything else. You do the will of God. Be the person that God has made you to be. That's what you got to be. This virtuous woman. Her price, as the Bible says, is far above rubies. Far above rubies. And as a matter of fact, in the same book of Proverbs, he says wisdom. Talks about wisdom as a woman. And says that her price is far above rubies. Why? Because in the wisdom of God is virtue. That's where you find it. In the wisdom of God. Let's stand to our feet for just a few minutes this afternoon.